apps. DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code LaRose when you sign up. Those who sign up right now will get $100 in free bets to use once mobile sports betting hits Louisiana. That's code LaRose to get $100 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-70-STOP. 21 and over. Louisiana only. Availability varies by parish. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions.
Get in zone. AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you've got some squeaky wipers? Sounds like it's time for a new set. We've got deals to help you get the job done and get ready for rainy fall weather. Right now, you can get a $15 AutoZone gift card by mail or email when you buy two Rain-X Silicone Advantage wipers. And we've even got more ways to shop, like our free same-day store pickup and next-day delivery.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Start your job today at AutoZone.com. Restrictions apply.
Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, and Max Kellerman.
Tom Brady just wanted to say goodbye in person to his longtime coach, but Bill Belichick said he wasn't available.
I like his consistency, but I don't like that the consistency stays for Tom Brady. Tom Brady is different, man.
That's the problem.
Tom Brady is just different. Regardless to what you think, it's Tom Brady.
GJ and Max, and on the ESPN app.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM. KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
You know what? Hits keep on coming. New Orleans Pelicans just tweeting an injury update on Herbert Jones. He sustained a concussion during the third quarter of last night's game against the Phoenix Suns. He has been placed in the NBA's concussion protocol. The team takes on tomorrow Sacramento. My guess is he's not going to play.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me.
Let's get stupid.
Today's more that what that camera Wednesday hump day is. What it is.
Tell you what, Herbert Jones for a second round draft pick and a rookie has had an unbelievable impact on this team and an unbelievable, you know, situation where he is done a tremendous job and playing well.
Peace and happiness forever.
800-998-1003. That was head coach Willie Fritz calling my phone. Tell him to call the hotline here in a quick second. Richard, thanks for giving us a buzz here in the Sports Hangover. We'll go to you while we wait for head coach Willie Fritz. What you got, bud? Hello, Richard. Hey, man.
Yeah, you hear me?
Yep.
All right, good. Honestly, like, I was loving how today was going, even with the Thomas news, and let me tell you why. I mean, the Thomas news is unfortunate, mm-hmm. but, well, we haven't had them all year anyway, so it just is what it is. Mm-hmm. But the show before, the Bart Scott show that's from 11 and then y'all take over at 12, mm-hmm. What they did had me laughing because last night baseball has a new champion, the Braves. Woohoo.
Right. Yeah.
And yet all anyone's talking about is what's going on in football. And it just makes me think, God, this is why I just love football. Even the Mike Thomas news it is a big deal. It's a significant deal. But yet, let's not forget with what's going on with Rodgers and possibly Beckham Jr. And it's like, my goodness, this is why, like, just love the sport. Good news or bad news, it just populates everything, right?
Mm-hmm. It is. So, it definitely runs a news cycle. That is for sure, in and around the country, man. Give me something else you got here, Richard. About 60 seconds. Coach Willie Fritz is on hold.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking. We'll find out obviously who practiced, but I really mm-hmm. think he's going to, because it's Atlanta, I think he'll give Simeon the chance. I think he'll give Simeon a chance, put Taysom in that role, and just, it's like, let's see what we got. We saw what we got last year. We know he can open the playbook more for Taysom because it's not like he has Breeze coming back, but it's one of those, let's give it a shot. We know Atlanta. We know their limitations. We know Simeon's limitations. That's my prediction. We'll find out more in coming days. We'll talk Friday, but that's what I really think. It's like, let's give him a shot and just take it one game at a time.
No doubt. We'll see what happens there, Richard. We'll find out soon. Again, practice will be wrapping up shortly, and then the Twitter and tweet embargo will be lifted, and I'm almost positive the first tweet from everybody that's at practice today will be, who took snaps? So does Sean Payton have both of them taking snaps in the short open session? You know what? Let's ask a head coach what he would do. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate the phone call. Head coach Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave, who, coach, first off, thank you for joining us, man, and finding a little bit of time. I know you get busy, and I appreciate you joining us. How are you this afternoon?
Gus.
You kind of went through kind of what Sean Payton's going through right now in that Michael Pratt, not healthy enough to play against Cincinnati and had to go to different quarterbacks. As a head coach, what kind of goes into the decision-making as to who plays, how you get those guys ready, and how does it change your game planning? It's a big thing when you lose your starter, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, you know, especially guys, you know, like Winston or the Pratt, you know, at our level. You know, he's done a great job for us. You know, I'm sure Coach Payton, you know, follows the same protocol as us. You know, the doctors make the decisions about,
sure,
you know, who's going to play and who isn't going to play. And, you know, Michael just wasn't ready to participate and play last week. We're hoping he's going to be ready to play this week. But, again, that'll be the doctor's decision. And, you know, and then that's why you always have to have somebody ready. You know, our second-team quarterback, Justin Ibieta, tore his labrum, a couple months ago. And so he was out. And we had three quarterbacks on scholarship. And usually want to have four or five. But, you know, all of the guys technically were freshmen. So he didn't want to really stack a class, you know, four freshmen quarterbacks. So we were waiting a year to get another one. And so Kai Horton, who started for us last year, got a lot of reps, you know, in the backup role. And last week, obviously, he got a ton. And you know, it was a tough game to throw him in there, his first college start, his first extensive playing time as a college quarterback going against, I'd imagine, one of the top three or four defenses in the country. You know, Cincinnati is really good. They're going to probably have four or five guys drafted and playing the NFL off that defense. So, but I thought he did a nice job, you know, being a first-time starter at the Division I level.
Speak with head coach Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave at Green Wave FB. Is the way to follow over on Twitter, TulaneGreenWave.com, the school's athletic website. Sir, you got a chance to see him up close. And obviously yesterday the college football playoff rankings came out. Cincinnati left out of the top four, the number six. A lot of people felt that that was a bit disrespectful. Look, you play in the American. I know it's going to go undergo some change and such, but as a member of that conference, you've seen UCF a couple years ago kind of deal with certainly something like this. Haven't seen the Bearcats in person. Do you think they're one of the top teams in the country? Because you also face Oklahoma, too.
I think they're a good team. You know, we played a little bit of keep away against them and kind of went, you know, different than our normal approach. So they didn't get as many opportunities. But I think they're very talented. I think if they go through this league, you know, I guess MU is a quality team. I think Houston is a quality team. I think, you know, there's a bunch of great teams in this league. There really are. And they go through this whole thing undefeated. There is no way they shouldn't be in the Final Four. I would be, you know, shocked, and I think it would be something that would not be good for college football. I think they should be in the top four right now. They beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame. And, you know, I know they're 7-1. They beat Indiana, who's a good squad, at Indiana. You know, so they've got some nice wins under their belt, and they're undefeated. And, you know, and last year, I think Coach Fickell would say this as well, their head coach, that, you know, if they hadn't had a little bit of a time management snafu at the end of the Georgia game and the bowl game, they would have beat them too. Mm-hmm. They look like they're pretty good this year. So, I think they should be in the top four.
Does it make you kind of go, that's incredible to think that Georgia's given up five touchdowns all season?
You know, when I was we played them when I was at Georgia Southern, and it was a different team than when we played them. They were still good, but not what they got now. But my youngest daughter went to school at Georgia, and one of my best buddies was the offense, Dan Pittman, head coach at Arkansas. He and I were, you know, went to college together, been friends for 40 years. So I'd always go visit him. And the last couple of years, I was like, wow, where did they get all these guys from?
Yeah.
You know, it was really incredible to see. And there's just so many of them, too. They just have some incredible size, speed, and very well coached. And so, yeah, they're great on defense. They do a nice job, limiting. You know, I read an article from Coach Smart, and he did a little video during COVID. He talked about defending the run. You know, to defend people in the run, if they got six in the box, you got to have seven. If they got seven, you got to have eight, or someone's got to open up a can and whip somebody and make the tackle, right? Because they got bodies on bodies. But he talked about how you can, you know, have if they got five in the box, you can have five in the box, and here's how you beat them. And, you know, but it comes down to Jimmys and Joes then, right? They got guys who can whip people. You know, so they play a little bit differently than other people and allows them to play really good pass coverage as well. They got extra people back on the back end because they can play the run with less people than most people would play the run against an opponent. So, they're something else. They're really good.
Well, Coach, I gave the stats, I want to say last week. I went through their defensive line, and they're all above 300, and they're all bigger than Saints defensive linemen. And I know you have a good relationship with the Saints. I'm sure you've walked by Cam Jordan in the past and other Saints, like Davenport. Literally, Georgia D linemen are bigger than those guys. So that ought to tell you why they're only giving up five TDs. All right, let's put a wraps on it, Coach, here. You're at UCF. You're on the road taking on, again, a team that – you know, historically has been a high-scoring team. What do you see when you look at the Knights this year?
Well, they're running the ball real well. They're not doing the same thing on offense. Gus Malzahn is their head coach, runs the ball extremely well. There's the counter play where they pull the guard and the tackle, and they're experts running the counter. He'll run some gimmick plays. You know, he'll get in some different formations. We're going to see some stuff that, you know, we haven't seen before. That's how they do it every week. He's got a few different wrinkles. And then they're really playing good on defense right now. They gave up 7 points last week and beat Temple, I think, 49-7. And the week before, they only gave up a couple touchdowns against Memphis. So be their homecoming. We'll probably be playing in front of 50,000 at the bounce house. It's a great atmosphere there. And we're looking forward to going against a high-quality team like UCF.
Head Coach Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave. Follow them on Twitter at GreenWaveFB. And, of course, you can go to TulaneGreenWave.com. Tulane, UCF, 3 p.m. on ESPNU. Coach, appreciate you fitting us in. Thank you so much. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you, guys.
All right, quick break. When we come back, your phone calls, 800-998-1003. We'll go back to what Head Coach Sean Payton had to say this morning about the Michael Thomas situation. If you've been under a rock, or I have no idea what I'm talking about, Michael Thomas is done for the season, had a setback from the procedure and surgery he had a couple months ago back in June. You'll hear exactly what he had to say from head coach Sean Payton. And we'll touch on the Pels last night. You'll hear from head coach Willie Green and others. I've been playing, it's Wednesday. I've been saying the Pels take on the Kings on Wednesday. Hey, Gus, it's Wednesday. They play tonight at 9. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. DraftKings Sportsbook is coming soon to Louisiana, and it won't be long until you can bet on all of your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home. To celebrate, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving customers $100 in free bets when you sign up before they go live. No deposit required. DraftKings is bringing their experience as a leader in daily fantasy sports to the sports betting world and have created one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, DraftKings Sportsbook.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code LAROSE when you sign up. Those who sign up right now will get $100 in free bets to use once mobile sports betting hits Louisiana. That's code LAROSE to get $100 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-70-STOP. 21 and over. Louisiana only. Availability varies by parish. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions.
Your new Ford dealership in LaFouche Parish is Calvin Braxton Ford. You may need your vehicle serviced, but you don't want to drive too far. Get ready for some good news. The Calvin Braxton Ford Service Department in Lockport is now open. And better yet, they truly want to keep your vehicle running at its best. Now offering a special on gas-only oil changes, just $39.95 up to 5 quarts. Plus, with 4 new tires, your alignment is only $69.95. Yeah, Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
Have you heard about the Camellia Bay Resort?
That casino in Slidell?
Well, it's really more of a resort, you know, like they have in Biloxi or L'Auberge in Lake Charles in Baton Rouge.
So what happened when they opened?
Oh, that's in the report that St. Tammany's Economic Development Agency just released. It's nearly 200 pages, 7 chapters.
Jeez.
I know, right? But the numbers are impressive. Says here that resort communities like Camellia Bay, they do pretty well when they open.
Really?
Yeah, in Biloxi, Lake Charles, and Baton Rouge, look at these facts. Unemployment down as much as 40%. Wages grew a third. And home values up 20% and more.
When the economy booms.
Yep, crime goes down. Crime dropped 16% in Baton Rouge and 24% in Biloxi and Lake Charles. Looks like Camellia Bay could do that for Slidell.
Yeah, and then the North Shore wins.
Download the research and see the facts for yourself. TheNorthShoreWinds.com. Paid for by the North Shore Winds.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover. Head coach Sean Payton earlier this morning, he was asked about the situation with, of course, Michael Thomas, as he is done for the year. Coach gave the update around 9 a.m., right around the time that Michael Thomas posted his text.
I think it's accurate to say that there was a setback, and it wasn't anything of his. He's working his tail off, and the setback had more to do with the procedure he had initially that was just done, and as they went through the scans, there's a chance that he may have to have another procedure done. And so I can't call in and have Dr. Anderson get on the call with us and explain to you. But I think that Michael is working his tail off to get healthy and get and become available. And I think that this isn't anything he can control. And so this has more to do with the tightrope procedure. And what that is a procedure that strengthens the ankle after, you know, you've had a significant injury to that area. So the setback is really surgically related, and we'll kind of go from there.
Now, one of the questions he was asked, hey, look, if the procedure would have been done earlier, like, say, February, at the end of the season, would this have changed the outcome at all?
When the trade deadline comes, we'll take a peek at what we think are players that may be available via trade. Like, we look at them. And maybe in some positions we won't look, but if you feel like you have a good team, you're paying attention to really all positions just based on who might be trading players. And so we've looked at receivers in the trade deadline. We've looked at quarterbacks. We've looked at defensive tackles. We've looked at a number of players just because there's a feeling that this team might be willing to move this player, tight end, receiver, safety. And so, you know, you approach that a little if you have an interest like free agency, where you look and do your homework. It's hard because it's in season, so it's taken away. If you're looking at film of a receiver, you're still getting ready for a game that week. And so that's not unusual. But that's as far as that went. Like, there was never any, well, we got down to the wire and just couldn't agree to a price. Nothing relative to any position, really. I mean, you know, that would be that.
That's Sean Payton talking about whether or not the Thomas situation affected them trying to go get a receiver yesterday. Again, lots of reports that the Saints were trying to go get different receivers and stuff, including, as Adam Schefter, I floated out this morning, OBJ.
I'm sure Odell Beckham Jr. would have loved to have been in Louisiana playing with the Saints, playing on a team that right now is coming off a huge win. It didn't happen. The Browns wanted too much right now. The Saints were unwilling to meet the price. Odell Beckham Jr. stays in Cleveland, and I can imagine what those questions will be like for him tomorrow should he be asked questions from reporters about what his father and LeBron James were talking about today.
Now, one of the things that is interesting, I'll play one more quickly here, Cajun Go, because I did want to hear what he had to say about the surgery and if the timeline would have helped an outcome to you.
Yeah, I mean, you're going back to if that happened earlier and then this now happened. I mean, look, he's had a surgery, and right now he's having complications with the current surgery that was done. So, listen. It is what it is. I know he's working his tail off to get back out there. And, I mean, you're going back to the original. So if you're doing a timeline, you know, knock yourself out.
All right. Cajun Goat, thank you for calling us here on the Sports Hangover, 800-998-1003. Uncle Earl on the on-deck circle. What you got, Goat?
All right. As far as the Michael Thomas thing, you know, just hopefully the guy doesn't like end his career totally.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have those foot injuries, man, that will just end your career totally. Because he's a good kid, he's a hard worker, and he probably was working too hard and might have re-injured it himself, you know, trying to get back.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the way I look at Michael. I don't think if he'd have had it earlier or late or whatever, he probably would have been out for the season, because it could be one of those injuries that could have been a career-ending injury, you know? So
yeah.
We don't really know unless we're talking to the doctors or we're with the doctors. All we can do is speculate. But I need to get on my big topic, Dust, which is the Pelican. How does David Griffin still have a job? If you did as poor as he did, Gus, at your job, would you still have your job? When you're supposed to be trending up, the whole reason they got him was because he was supposed to bring stability to this organization, and he was supposed to bring people into this organization, and this was supposed to be a wonderful thing, and it's so great. And all I can say right now is that the people that you had in before him did a better job, and that's horrible because they did a horrible job. So I'm on the point now that David Griffin has to go. Everything, and this team is being made fun of. Grant me so, I like the hustle, I like the coach, I don't want to see them guys go. But hustle is not going to get you victory. You know, you're going to like to watch them play, but you don't have enough talent on this team. I'm even at the point right now with Noah is a bench player. He is not a starter. He's not consistent enough. He's about as less consistent as the guy that's playing in Chicago. So, I mean, when is Gail Benson going to step up and be an owner and figure out that, hey, this guy here, man, was a bad decision,
right,
and we need to move on from it?
Well, Cajun Goat, depending on how this season goes, I think it'll answer itself for sure. But here's your issue. Look, last year was an unmitigated disaster, and here's one of the things that I'm already seeing out there. And again, it's one of the things I'm fearful of on how this is going to change if, say, by the time he comes back. Again, I'm just being realistic. If Willie Green says 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks to be rescanned, then that is okay. Then he can practice. Then he can play. It's December, right? It's December. So, I'm just looking at this team right now. They're playing hard. They're in games, but at the end of the day, you're judged on W's and L's. And if this team is not at above 10 wins by the time he gets back, and again, if he misses 3 weeks, it's 12 games, Scott Kushner tweeted. So one game was played yesterday, another game's being played today. If you're not at 500, I don't want to say you start looking at different things, But my point is, how realistically can you get to the play-in game? I just don't want it to be this, Cajun Goat. I don't want it to be this national thing where we get to March, their game's short, or two, or five, they're not a playoff team, and then the national media narrative is, you know, they didn't put anybody around Zion. Because then I'll lose my stuff. Because I don't know what you want Willie to do, and quite honestly, I don't disagree with what you said about Griffin, but at this point, what can you do? Like, he has to heal. He has to get in shape. And then he has to play on the basketball court. I don't know what else you could have done from an organizational standpoint. And when you look at the national media people this week alone, it hasn't been that the Pels have messed this up. It's been Zion needs to do better to be in better shape. So at the very least, I'm glad about that, in that I don't know what else the Pels could have done. They had everybody playing together and practicing together in Phoenix or in Vegas. That you brought in Willie Green. Everyone seems to buy into his philosophy. Chris Paul yesterday at the end of the game, again, taking a picture with them at the end. He's getting support. So that worked. That was a fix to a problem last year. If there's one thing that you can say this organization, you know, dropped the ball with Zion, was that 1 year of hiring Van Gundy in a terrible roster. But other than that, I don't know how else you can say the organization failed him, you know, to an extent where
I agree with, the point that was what you're making about Zion.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about in general, the way things are handled. Right now, we have nothing but disgruntled.
Yeah.
We have disgruntled reporters because they don't give you transparency. We have disgruntled fans because we don't get transparency.
Right.
We got a guy who lies to us. Mm-hmm. And then lets a player come on and lie to us. He lets his franchise player, the guy that's going to be the franchise player, get overweight and has nothing to say about it. I guarantee if it was Jim Finks would have told him that he was going to take money every pound he gained, and it would have been handled way better, Gus. We can't let this guy off the hook.
Look, I'm not. I said he did a terrible job last year, but it's a different world today.
You know, he's doing a terrible
Jim
job
Finks,
since he got
let
here.
Me tell you something. Jim
the only
Finks
thing that happened
done.
Was luck got on his side.
I know. I hear you. Look, Finks wouldn't have been able to do what he did, though, in today's world. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, look at Ben Simmons, for crying out loud. The Sixers have done everything to help him. Sports psychologists, shot doctors, you name it. He's turned them down and then has the gall to ask them for a release and trade. It's just a different world. Now, not comparing the two, but my hope is this, Cajun Goat, that some of the things that Griffin botched, he tried to fix. Let's see what happens. There are some things that look like it might have been fixed in terms of some roster, the coach. Let's see. I don't know. It's hard to evaluate because you have Brandon Ingram in street clothes. You have Zion
in
street clothes.
You have 3 years. So, you have 3 years to evaluate it. Gus, when he came in,
I'm not disagreeing.
He was supposed to be the damn savior.
Go.
He hasn't saved anything. We're in the cellar looking at balls.
I hear you. I'm not disagreeing with you. But in his first year, the guy didn't play till January. I mean,
I'm talking about Griffin, not Zion.
Right.
Zion, the point is, I'm probably more now wishing we would have got Ja Morant. But you know, you kind of knew all these issues to begin with, and if you're supposed to be a basketball guy, that you came in, we didn't have a basketball guy. You probably knew all these things about Zion before he came in. And you should have known your things about Ja Morant, too, I would guess, too. But, you know, you took the chance.
Yeah.
So you got what you got. You know, look at R.J. Barrett. R.J. Barrett's playing getting better time than Zion is. I mean, you know, you need to know what you were going to have. And if you knew what you were going to get, you should have known how to manage it. And you don't know how to manage it. Because the guy's out there eating every snack he can find. So you didn't know how to manage him when you got him. You just wanted the name on the back of the jersey to sell to the fans and make more money. And you probably made a little money at the beginning, but I guarantee you the money you made is going to get lost in these last couple seasons. So I don't know how the guy still got a job. I think Ms. Benson needs to take this stuff in her own hand. We need an actual basketball guy. I'll take Kenny Smith any day over him. Any day over him. And I wanted him before the season started, before they made that change to David Griffin. But we got David Griffin, and this is what we got now, Gus. I'm going to let you go to the next guy, but I'm just really – with the Pelicans, I think the general manager's got to go.
I hear Cajun Goat, 1-7 on the season. And the more losses that pile up, the more I guess this is sort of, you know, going to be how it's going to be. Uncle Earl, I'll come to you out of the break. Let's put him on hold, buddy, since I don't want to be late. We'll call also Sean Fox. I'll break Uncle Earl, Sean Fox. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Caused by Hurricane Ida was unprecedented. You can prevent additional damage by making a free call to 811 a few days before you dig or disturb the ground in any way. Calling 811 helps protect you from unintentional consequences caused by digging into underground utility lines. After calling 811, wait the required time, confirm all marks, and then dig with care. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law. This message is provided by Common Ground Alliance.
New Orleans Pelicans basketball is back.
Cross court pass to Nikhil, extra pass to Vontae, left wing three. He got it at the buzzer!
Ingram in the center circle, driving. He's got a seam.
He's going to punch it over Anthony Edwards.
Hi, this is Todd Graffinini. Join Daniel Salerson and me as the Pelicans take on the Dallas Mavericks Monday at 7:30 p.m.
on ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
Sports betting is coming to Louisiana, and there's no better place to get in on the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook. To celebrate, we're giving you $100 in free site credit when you register early. That's right, register and verify now, and you'll receive a free $100 bonus when we're live. FanDuel Sportsbook is safe, secure, and 100% legal and regulated. The app is easy to use. They're always hooking you up with great offers. And when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and register now to get $100 in free site credit. Must be 21 plus and present in Louisiana. Bonus issued and non-withdrawable site credit that expires 7 days after FanDuel accepts its first real money sports wager in Louisiana. Go live date. Unique user identity verification required. Offer ends on the go live date. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-877-770-STOP.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back. Sean Fox, off the front row in the on-deck circle. Uncle Earl, give me your best 90 seconds, sir, so I can get to our next guest. What do you got?
Hey, Goose, how's it going, man?
Doing well.
Hey, Goose, real quick. You know we selfish, man. Look, if we get in the same, the quarterbacks we got right now, we get in the playoffs, we're pretty much going to, we might have one win, right? I mean, we kind of want more. I'm going to throw a name out there, Gus, if he's healthy. And I want you to tell me what you think. Nick Foles. You think that's a question or hell no? Or tell me what you think about that.
I just think, sort of like Jeff Saturday said on NFL Live back on Monday, and even Philip Rivers, again, Moscona played the audio. He
right.
went on a sports talk show yesterday in Mobile and on Monday and said, look, I can be ready. I'm kind of on that. I think a player like that, given a couple of weeks, could kind of maybe help you do something of that nature. I just look at this, right? What's the cost? What's the price? And where are you moving forward? I think maybe moves are done differently if you, say, have a player that you know is your starter next year, but he's out this year. So do you need maybe to hold on to those assets and draft picks like for Odell Beckham Jr. yesterday? Because you may need that to, say, give to Seattle for Russell Wilson or give to Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers or, you know, things of that nature. So I just think when you look at it, you roll with what you have this year and you live with the results, and then next year you improve the position.
Gus, I get that. What if we make a run, though? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, God, but what kind of
what
run, though?
Happens?
But okay, well, look, well, again, I'm not saying you're poo-pooing on the season. Let's see what happens. But
right, exactly. Exactly. Like, God forbid if Taysom comes in and he gets hurt again. God, right. I hope not. With the concussion thing, we're going to need somebody.
I'm just being a realist. Look, you've won five games. But without a dominant receiver and without a playmaking quarterback, you are behind the gun, bro. I mean, I mean, you're behind the gun. You can only ride that D so much. and let's see what happens. But I'm just, you know, it's just
after the first playoff win, Gus. You know how we're gonna get. Or what if this happens? Then we can get to the NFC Championship game.
Again.
What if this happens?
Well, just enjoy it. Be like, this is awesome. You've given me an appetizer for what I hope will be moving forward. Thank you, KJ. Thank you, Uncle O.
Have a good one, Gus.
For sure, man. Let's bring in Mr. Sean Fox up there in Fun Row, Louisiana. Let me see. I got to pull up your stuff because I cannot remember your Twitter handle name because it's just awful. Oh, there it is. At Fox for Sports Talk. It's the way to follow Sean Fox. I would tell you the name of his show, but he didn't put it up there. How are you this afternoon?
Gus, the weather up here in Fun Row is cold. It's rainy. It's basically how all Saints fans are feeling today.
It's been an interesting 24 hours, right? Last night, halftime of the Suns and Pels game, you got Chuck saying Zion looks like the love child of Shaq and Chuck. Then this morning you wake up and it's Michael Thomas' season done. It's kind of where we are right now, isn't it?
We can't have good things. I yearn for a day where I can start the show like I did yesterday with a monkey, a stripper, and a head football or assistant football coach. Those are the fun things I like talking about.
The pole Not assassin. Stories, is that who you're referring to, the pole assassin?
The pole assassin, Gia the monkey and Jeff Banks. I mean, those are the stories I like to talk about. This is just depressing.
Look, Cajun Goat called a segment ago. He's upset. There are a lot of Pels fans that are, here we go again.
Should be. I love the call. Love the passion.
Okay, well, let me ask you this.
Okay.
They're 1-7.
Yeah, they're terrible.
And there are some things that you do see that are something to be, I guess, I wouldn't say happy about, but hopeful. But how much of what you're seeing right now is legitimately, say, Derek Griffin's fault or all this stuff where you sort of like, you know what, bail on the season, do all this stuff. It's just, I'm watching the game and there's the scene, you know, there's the shots on the bench and it's B.I. and it's Zion in street clothes. I just, in today's NBA, I just don't know how you compete when you don't have that. So I feel for Willie Green. He doesn't have the team that is an NBA team at the level that you sort of needed. I like the nice young pieces, but they're pieces. All we've heard is complaint about what are the right pieces around Zion. Well, I think they're there, but you know who's missing? Zion. So I just don't know how you evaluate right now to this point.
Every point you make is spot on, and I agree with it. But here's where I agree with the Cajun Goat. I agree, and I think a lot of Saints/ Pelicans fans probably feel the same way. There's something in the water, man. Like, why do we seem to have the injury problems that we seem to have year after year? Like, this is nothing new with the Pelicans. To me, it's like rinse, repeat. We keep living the same nightmare over and over again where you look like, man, there's some really nice pieces. We just can't seem to get them on the court. It always seems to be something. And I always feel like we're talking about the same thing here of me trying to preach the gospel of the Pelicans. It's so hard to get people up here. And I think even in the city to fully embrace the franchise when you continue to have to do what you're doing, which I completely get is, yeah, there's hope, but there's always a setback. And that's just, it almost feels like, you know, it's appropriate for this time of year. It's like Lucy holding the football for Charlie Brown, and he's all excited. And I know you're all excited every year. The Pelican season's about to start. And then you go to kick the football, and the Pelicans move it away from you.
Oh,
that's
no.
What's happening every single year. You get excited for the Pelicans, and they do this to you.
Yeah. Yeah, but here's the interesting aspect of it, right? And it just kind of goes to show you. It's nuts. It's literally the same square footage. It's separated by a parking lot. You have one franchise that battles and deals with injuries, and you have a certain feeling about it, as you just mentioned.
One of the most
Pelicans.
Consistent franchises in sports. I might have said the best regular season NFL team in the last decade.
On the other side, you have what you just said. Here's a guy that literally loses everybody, key players. I mean, he's not losing the punter. He's not losing Not that he's not key, but you understand what I'm saying. We're talking starters on defense, starters on offense, starters on the offensive line, your number one receiver, your starting quarterback. You lost your number one receiver who hadn't even played for the year. And yet, people are like, we're going to go kick the Falcons' tails this Sunday. It's incredible when you think about that, isn't it? How one organization, like, they can handle it. They can do it. But you know what? To use, I guess, a phrase you've used a lot of times, the proof is in the pudding, huh? Sean and the Saints have done it.
And he's the alpha. He's the voice. People believe, and there's a confidence, and there's a swagger that goes along with him. Where's that on the Pelican? Who's the alpha there? Who's the consistent thing? It doesn't exist. It hadn't existed. And that's the problem. Now, I want to keep going back to that phone call about Zion. Sure. I know, look, you've been as open and honest about Zion as anybody. When it's come to Zion, I've been the sunshine and rainbows guy. Like, oh, but it's Zion. And you're like, well, he's got to do something. Gus, I know what Ja Morant's doing. It's incredible. And nobody with a straight face can tell you at this point in their career that Ja's not a better player than Zion. And a lot of it has to do, the best ability is what? Availability, and yeah. Zion hasn't been available. But I do take umbrage, and it happens to be kind of where the franchise, this is where the Pelicans and the franchise and the Saints differ. Right now, the Pelicans, the most important thing they could do with this franchise is get a guy, one name, like a Zion, who would sell tickets with his name on the marquee. As good as Ja was coming out of college, and I even think today, Ja ain't Zion when it comes to marquees. The Saints are all about winning championships. Right now, we're just trying to get butts in the seats in the Smoothie King Center. Who does that? A guy like Zion. And I think almost any, I'm going to take it a step further. I think almost any NBA franchise would have done the exact same thing the Pelicans did on draft day. I think almost all of them would have taken Zion over Ja. That said, has it not gone our way? Has it not played out the way we all hoped? Of course not. But I think everybody was going to make that move for Zion. Everybody would have done it, especially a franchise like New Orleans.
Saints putting out there who's going to be made available after practice today. Sean Payton, surprisingly, Sean Fox, doesn't have a quarterback available today. It's Tre'Quan Smith, Quan Alexander, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, maybe somebody else. You know what? I'm with Sean. I think you wait until the last couple of possible time in order to do that. But who would you start, man? Who are you starting?
I have been going back and forth. You know, yesterday everybody's like, who are we going to trade for? Who's going to trade for? I'm sure you're getting the same calls as text messages just said. To me, the story isn't who the Saints are going to get. The story is going to be who's going to start, Trevor or Taysom. That's the story we need to be paying attention to, and that's the way it played out. Initially, Gus, I thought, you know, Taysom's put in his time. This is the situation that we've waited, that he's waited for, is to be the guy for an extended period of time. And I know he got his point last year, but, hey, this is pretty much an entire season. But the more I think about it, I think maybe without Michael Thomas and the lack of playmakers right now offensively, I think they roll with Simeon as the quarterback, and I think Taysom continues to play his jack-of-all-trades role.
I think my only concern with that, I mean, because there's pluses or minuses with both, right? Like, I almost look at it almost like a sort of an option sort of team, too, where you can imagine now you have Mark Ingram. I mean, imagine that, right? You have Kamara one side, Ingram one side.
I mean, we could run the wishbone with Taysom. Yeah.
He's like, have at it. He did compete for the starting role. I think a lot of it has to do with his health. I mean, did he even practice?
Sure.
Is he healthy enough to play there and do that? Is it healthier for him to be quarterback with a concussion just or being the jack of all trades, which he's probably going to get popped? So...
But even as quarterback, the thing he does the best is run the football, especially on short down and distance where he's going to get popped.
I think, though, one of the things that I said earlier in the week, why I said, you know what, maybe just roll with what you have, is I think one of the encouraging signs, Sean, is 10 different Saints had at least one reception in that game. And that seems like the Saints of old, right? Drew spreading it around. It could be a catch. It could be three by a receiver. But the fact that Trevor, who took very limited snaps, if any, going into that game, somehow at the end of the day, 10 receivers have a catch. Now, no, he didn't you know, throw it on. You know, Traquan caught the pass from Jameis. My point is, 10 caught it, and he kind of looked like he sort of knew what he did. So I honestly think, again, sort of like how you feel differently about either team on the either side of the parking lot, I legitimately think Sean can win with either quarterback.
Well, he's proven that. I mean, how many different quarterbacks now the stats are out there that
Five.
He's won there not named Drew
Five
Brees.
In 3 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, four and, other than Brees, kinda, right.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I let it out an expletive watching the game, but that was like, oh, blank. When first play, Trevor Siemian hadn't played in a couple of years, and
we're going deep.
Like, the amount of time I expected conservative out the wise. I was like, here comes a heavy dose of Kamara and Ingram when Siemian came in. The fact that they threw the football in the heck, look at the end of the game that he got criticized for, but that goes to show you he's got a little confidence in Siemian. I was completely shocked by the amount of times he was throwing the football. And, I mean, look, does he have the strongest arm in the world? No. But, man, he didn't lack for confidence, and I kind of like that. I mean, that is the storyline going forward. Is it Taysom? Is it Trevor? But I kind of like what I saw him in a look, again, there was no film out there. It was a short sample size. But he played with confidence, and I think that's important. And obviously, Peyton had confidence in him with the play calling.
Sean Fox from up there in Fun Row. Try to enjoy yourself. The weather's nice. We haven't got that rain just yet, man. I like the cool fall temps. And
hey, thanks
quite
for not
honestly,
taking a shot at Tech today. That's mighty kind of.
You know what? There's no need to. We're good. I don't feel ill will. And quite honestly, you know what? I don't need to be putting any negative karma out there. The Pels play tonight. They'll be without Herbert Jones. So no negative karma that I'm putting out today. Okay?
Gus, there's enough negative karma on that franchise right now.
There really honestly is. Sean Fox. Go give him a follow on Twitter. Hold on, I got to pull it up. I messed it up.
FOX, the number 4 sports talk.
Thank you, Sean. We'll talk
How's
again
that?
Next
Thanks,
week.
Thanks, pal. Yep, bye.
There he goes. Maddie Hudak's walked in here. We'll hear from her next segment as well as we'll talk about the New Orleans Saints. And, again, open up the phone lines, 800-998-1003. If you'd like to chime into the conversation, again, the Thomas News. Who do you start? Saints not tipping their hand just yet. Now, we'll see. Very interesting. There is an open viewing part for the media. It's very short. It's stretchy time. You might see some warm-ups. But I wonder if the tweets that will be coming out here at the end of practice will have any, you know, saying as to who they saw taking snaps or if Sean Payton, you know, didn't allow anyone to see that just yet. Look, I'm okay with that. Fine. Have Atlanta guess all you want. You know what? This is what I'll need to know who's starting on quarterback. Sunday at noon. I'm good with that. How about you? Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville. The NFL trade deadline came and went on Tuesday. Now, several reports had them making phone calls around the league for receiver, but at the end of the deadline, no moves. Hudats, you don't want to hear this, but a main reason for all of the phone calls, perhaps, the health status of receiver Michael Thomas. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport gave not-so-good news Wednesday morning.
He is dealing with a new and separate ankle injury. Remember, he had ankle surgery this spring that put him on the sidelines through the beginning of the season. He now has a new issue, and I'm told in the last couple days, he saw a specialist to try to ascertain when is he going to be back and what issues, in fact, need to be fixed. I talked to a source informed of the situation about when he is going to be able to be back. I was told it is unpredictable. So if you were wondering why the Saints behind the scenes tried to trade for a receiver yesterday while they talked to several teams about a potential deal that never ended up happening, this is why, because we do not know when Saints receiver Michael Thomas is going to be able to be on the field because of a new issue in his ankle.
New Orleans, a 6-point favorite over Atlanta in the noon kickoff on Sunday in the Dome. For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold report has been brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville.
Napa know-how.
Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa Auto Parts, marine, and industrial supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip? They have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts' 5 locations, Lockport, LaRose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa know-how.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Matty Hudak in here as well. You're fired up. You're ready to go, aren't you?
Yeah, boring day. So I figured I'd come in
No news whatsoever. You know. Jack, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover. How are you?
All right. How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Hey, look, as far as the Saints quarterback situation, I don't think that you can't sell Taysom Hill for years, and when he finally gets his chance, you can't pull the rug out from under him. That can't be the way that goes. He has to be the starter.
I'm with you, and I know everyone knows I love Taysom Hill, but, I mean, if we're being serious here, he's the one that's been working at this opportunity for 2 years. He was the one in the quarterback competition throughout training camp. And Trevor Siemian, he played better in that game than I saw all through training camp because I frankly thought that he was QB4 by the end of it. So as much as I was impressed by Siemian, I know people think that Hill isn't a real quarterback, this, that, and the other, but I don't see how you can see what Sean Payton has put on this season in these game plans and not really, you know, trust his judgment at this point. And like you said, he's been the guy that's been trying to earn this shot for 2 years. I think it's only fair that when this type of opportunity presents itself, give him a chance. And if it doesn't work, then, yeah, you have Siemian.
And as far as the Pelicans go, I think the problem is not that they don't have a star. Well, we have a star that doesn't play. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that every year seems like the first year of a rebuilding process. And it gets old. And Gus, I agree with you. When you look out there, there's things that you're encouraged about. But at this point, you should be more than just be looking for moral victories. The game last night, it certainly looked like they had command. But at the end of the third quarter and the beginning of the fourth quarter, all the Suns did was ramp up the defense.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that the Pelicans were getting bad shots. They weren't getting any shots. It was like you playing with your son. You know, they weren't getting shots, period. Right.
I'll tell you what, man. If you've seen him lately, the kid will run me over, though. He legitimately will bulldozer me. He's a lot thicker than me. And that's the prevailing thing. I mean, you just heard me now with Sean Fox. And I know you were walking in, Maddie, and you kind of heard that, too. It's incredible. Two franchises share a parking lot. Yet both have suffered and gone through key injuries to key players. I mean, Drew Brees being hurt's a key injury, right?
Maybe we need to move parking lots.
It's just nuts, though, how one franchise is able to sort of handle it and move forward in that. And I guess I know they're different sports. I do that. But even still.
Sean Payton.
Well, that's what I was going to say, right? Having the right culture, picking the right players. Because to your point, Jack, B.I. goes out like he did last night. Who's your score? I mean, that's the thing. And I know, Gus, in the NBA, you only have one or two superstars. I get that. But the Phoenix Suns, as we saw in their run last year, had at least four or five guys that could knock down a three or could get into that. So I think the Pels have it to an extent. Is it sustainable for four? Is it sustainable against a team that, quite honestly, look, they went to the NBA Finals last year? You know, it just is what it is. You don't have anybody on that roster, and I would dare say currently, if B.I. and Zion played, that are on par and on the same level as CP3 and Devin Booker. Healthy. Now, you can at me all you want, but those two guys, give me those two guys over B.I. and Zion. Healthy. I mean, right now. I mean, they're proven themselves. They can take over games. They can play defense. They have shots left and right from the mid-range to the three to whatever. The Pelicans superstars are limited in certain things. B.I. can do certain things, not others. And I keep saying about Zion, you can give me all the numbers in the paint and dominance. I called the man layup king at the end of last year because he led the NBA in shots being blocked. He didn't play above the rim, wasn't aggressive enough, doesn't dribble with his right hand, still limited in his shots, doesn't play defense.
So, I mean, that, and he doesn't have an actual trainer or a chef at this point, which when you're in the middle of an injury recovery,
I think, you know, again, I don't know the specifics and particulars on it, but I mean, it's, again, that's why I say it's inexcusable. And don't give me it's because of the foot.
Gus, there is something positive, though. Because Valanciunas looks like a great signing.
100%. Devontae Graham's a nice thing, you know.
Herb
Jones, my goodness. The plus minus with him. We're going to speak with Graf at 245. There was a palpable, tangible, visible difference when Herbert Jones got elbowed in the eye and suffered a concussion to having him off the court. Literally, the game changed. I mean, that is a guy who, and to your point,
that's your defense.
I was just going to say, and to Jack's point, that's not a guy that impacts it on an offensive end. But that's what I'm saying. Do you have somebody that is impactful on the defensive end that the game changes when he's off the court? Then somebody's got to step up on the offensive end. Who is that guy? You know?
And Gus, one last thing before I go. If this was a month from now or 2 months from now,
yeah,
and you had your DraftKings sports book up and running, you had the Pelicans in 10 points and they had an 11-point lead at the end, near the end of the third quarter, and you thought, where am I going to spend this money? And they pulled a loss right out of the jaws of victory.
There it is, Jack. Thank you so much.
Anyway, you have a good day. Bye-bye.
I've heard that before from the graph. Finding defeat out of the jaws of victory or something like that. Darius, I got literally 2 minutes to the top of the hour. Can you get it in 2 minutes, sir? Hello, Darius. I didn't hang up. Maddie, how about this? We'll take the break and start right promptly on time at 2 o'clock in hour number 3 of the Sports Hangover. We'll hear from the Graf as well towards the end of the show for a little quick hit, because I've been saying all day, Maddie, Pels take on the Kings on Wednesday. You know what day of the week it is, Maddie? Wednesday. It's tonight at 9 o'clock. I don't even know what day of the week it is.
I truly don't either.
I honestly don't. My wife thought yesterday was Monday. I'm like, no, it's Tuesday. Don't you take me back the other way. Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans. Go take the money and run. Go take the money and run.
Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles. If you